Well, if you would take out your Bibles, would you go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 47? That's where we're gonna begin this morning. We'll get there in a couple minutes, but we'll be starting in Psalm 47. But as you're turning there, what I'd like to do is kind of explain what we're going to be studying this morning. The last several times I've been in the pulpit with you, we've been going through this series called Church 101. I walked the youth group through this series about a year ago, and I wanted to share it with the church as well. And so each week in this series, we're going to be asking and answering a question about the church. And so far, we've established what the church is, that we are called out ones, that we belong to the Lord. We've talked about why the church gathers, and that the church gathers for fellowship, for worship, for growth, and for witness. And we've talked about the purpose of the church, why the church matters. And the church matters because we have the words of eternal life for a world that is filled with dying people. And today in this series, it kind of marks a switching of gears a little bit, if you will, moving from talking about the identity and the purpose of the church to talking about some of the practices of the church. In other words, asking, why does the church do the things that it does? When we gather together, why do we do the things we do? And so today we're going to ask and answer the question, why do we sing? So would you pray with me as we dive into our message and our time in the Word this morning? Lord God, just thank you for this day that you have made, that we have the opportunity to gather as brothers and sisters, as children of yours, Lord, to lift you up in worship and in songs of praise, to hear your word, God, to celebrate communion and just rejoice in all that you have done together as your body. Would you be glorified in our midst, Lord? We think of Pastor Josh this morning. Thank you for the successful surgery that he had. We pray for him as he rests and as he recovers. We look forward to having him back soon, but would you continue to be with him and his family as he recovers from the surgery? Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your son. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, did you know that the book of Psalms is actually a songbook? It's a hymnal, and the book of Psalms makes up about 7% of the Old Testament. Now, in addition to the Psalms, there's a lot more song and poetry that we see in Scripture. If you look at Ecclesiastes, or if you look at Song of Solomon, you'll see that there's a heavy focus on poetry and on song. We see it in the New Testament as well. If you look at Revelation chapter 5 through 7, you see song lyrics recorded there. Or in Revelation chapter 15, in Matthew chapter 26, we see Jesus singing with his disciples, as well as the apostles singing in Acts chapter 16. We see Mary singing in Luke chapter 1, and we see the angels singing of Jesus' birth in Luke chapter 2. We see in Ephesians 5:19 that the church is commanded to communicate to each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. Now, I realize right there, as soon as I say that some of you are maybe already thinking of objections. You're thinking, oh, you know, come on, I'm not really a music person. That's not my thing. I didn't do band. I haven't done choir. I mean, have you heard me sing? I don't know how to sing. I don't know how to play an instrument. Maybe you're thinking, you know, I'm more of a podcast kind of person. I listen to talk radio in the car. Thank you very much. But I want you to stop and think about this for just a second. Because God created sound, and he created sound to work in a very specific way. And the way that the human ear receives sound, it's all very specific to absorb the sound that he created and then get enjoyment from it. Music itself is a gift from God. And in Proverbs chapter 20, it says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them." They're both gifts from the Lord. Now, check this out. I'm going to put a chart up on the screen, and this is a chart of the human ear. And I just want you to look for a second and see how complex this really is. You know, I thought about taking the time and kind of giving you a full description of how all these parts of our ears work in harmony with our brains to process sound waves. I'm not going to get into all of that, but just know and understand by looking at this that this is an incredibly unique and beautiful, but also very complex process. You see, God took great care in designing the human ear so that we could enjoy music. Music is designed by God, and we are designed to receive it in such a way that it's enjoyable to us. And music has benefits that go far beyond just enjoyment. Studies have shown that listening to music can reduce stress, that it can lower blood pressure. Music is good for us. There's an article from Harvard Medical Journal that says this: music is a fundamental attribute of the human species. Virtually all cultures, from the most primitive to the most advanced, make music. In tune or not, humans sing and hum. In time or not, we clap and sway. In step or not, we dance and bounce. The human brain and nervous system are hardwired to distinguish music from noise and to respond to rhythm and repetition, tones and tunes. Is this a biological accident, or does it serve a purpose? And as believers in a creator God, we know that this is not by accident. This serves a purpose. Music is a gift from God, but it's a gift that we give back to him as well. God gave us the gift of music. And when we gather together as the church, and when we sing together as the church, we're giving a gift of worship to the Lord. So why do we sing? I want you to read with me Psalm chapter 47, starting in verse 5. Psalm 47, starting in verse 5. God has ascended with a loud shout, Yahweh with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. So why do we sing? Well, the simple answer is because we're commanded to, like we see right here in Psalm 47. But it's not just an Old Testament command. We see it in the New Testament as well. In Colossians 3:16, we're told that we are to be singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That's ultimately what it comes down to. We sing because God has commanded it. But why did he command it? Because it's good for us and because it's pleasing to him, right? It's a gift from God that we can enjoy music and celebrate music and sing back to him, whether we sing beautifully or if it's just a joyful shout. And when we sing, it's a gift that we're giving back to the Lord. Now, what actually happens when we as the church gather together and we sing? I want to share four things with you this morning that actually happen when the church comes together and sings together. And the first is this: singing unites us in a shared history. Singing unites us in a shared history, and God wants us to be united. He wants us to be one. And now I know some of you, when you come to church, you love singing. And for some of you, you're like, well, yeah, I'll tolerate the ceiling, but can we just get to the message? I love hearing, you know, Rodney and Josh and Bill talk. That's great. You know, I acknowledge that. I can understand that. I can appreciate that. But let's think about this for a minute, because music affects you emotionally. God has designed it that way. So let's say you're watching a movie and all of a sudden the music starts to get a little more suspenseful or maybe spooky, right? We have a reaction to that, right? Maybe we get a little more tense. Maybe our blood pressure starts to rise a bit. Or maybe the music gets triumphant and we kind of lean in because we know there's this epic moment that's coming. Or maybe the music turns a little more somber and we start to feel sad, maybe have empathy for the characters on screen. Music affects us. It affects our mood. It affects our emotions. I know for me personally, whenever I hear the Rocky theme song, I just want to punch somebody. Or I want to run up the steps and pump my fist in the air, right? Music is designed to affect you. God has designed it that way. And so what happens when we sing together is it creates or celebrates this history that we have together. We often see this at sporting events, right? When the fans gather together and they sing the songs or do the chants to support their team, they're creating that shared moment. There's a sense of unity among the fans at a sporting event. You know, I can remember back to a mission trip I went on my senior year of high school. Taylor Swift's You Belong With Me was on the top 100, and every time that song would come on the radio, our entire car would belt it at the top of our lungs. And to this day, whenever I hear that song, I think about that trip and those experiences and memories that I made with those people. So what did Israel do? Well, Israel was given this book of Psalms that we've been talking about, this hymn book that we're looking at this morning. So I'd like you to turn to Psalm 105, and we're going to look at how they celebrated this history that they had together. Psalm 105, and we're going to look starting in verse 8. Psalm 105, starting in verse 8. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, which he cut with Abraham and his oath to Isaac. Then he confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel an everlasting covenant, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance. If you look at Psalms, you're going to see this over and over and over again, this celebration of Israel's history. They're celebrating that God chose them, that they're his chosen people. They're celebrating that God chose Abraham and that God created a family through Abraham, that God made a covenant and gave them the promised land, that he rescued them out of slavery. And they think about that deliverance and the promises that God has made to them, that he has been faithful to fulfill time and time again. And they celebrate all of these things. And then the music that they would sing about these things too would reinforce that for them. Why? Because music helps us learn. Like singing aids us in memorization. So right now, I want you to take just a couple seconds and go through your ABCs in your mind. Just take a few seconds, go through your ABCs. Now, how many of you sang the song A, B, C, D, E, F? Yeah, we do that, right? It's been drilled into us. So we could sing our ABCs together. And we learn the alphabet to music because music helps us to learn. Music helps us to remember. So what is our shared history? What is it that we're remembering when we gather together? Well, in the simplest terms, it's creation, fall, redemption, and kingdom. That's our shared history. We're part of creation. God is the creator. He has created each and every one of us. But we're part of the fall together as well. Every one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Redemption. Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to rescue us out of our brokenness. And kingdom, we believe that even though we're living in this broken and sinful world, someday Jesus is coming back and he's going to make all things new. And so for generations, Christians have been singing these things together because it reminds us of our shared history. The songs we sang just a few minutes ago are examples of this. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, Alleluia, Alleluia. Let all things their Creator bless and worship him in humbleness. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. You know, I can barely say that without singing because all my life growing up in the church, I've been singing this song. In fact, Christians have been singing this song in church for almost 800 years, celebrating the fact that we are creatures of the God and King who created us. Malty Babcock wrote this in 1901. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest in me the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. Or this famous song by John Newton that we've been singing for almost 250 years. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. We're all part of God's creation, but we're all broken. We're all under the curse of sin in need of rescuing by our Savior. Elvina Hall wrote this in 1865. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. God is the creator, but creation fell, and we are a part of that fall. But God has intervened on our behalf and rescued us through Jesus, washing away all of our sin. Our debt has been removed. And so going back to Malty Babcock's hymn, we have this hope. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world, the battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. Jesus is coming back. And when he does, he's going to set all things right. He's going to make all things new. But even now, He is reigning. He is sovereign over all. And so when we sing together, when we think about these words, we're remembering this shared history that we have with one another and with God. And so first, we sing because it unites us in a shared history. But second, we sing because it unites us in a shared response. Turn with me now to Psalm 92. Psalm 92, we're going to start with verse 1. Psalm 92, starting in verse 1. It is good to give thanks to Yahweh and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night, with the 10-string lute and with the harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. For you, O Yahweh, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. So why am I spending so much time this morning using illustrations from Psalms? Well, the Psalms are songs. They're poetry that we set to music. And even now, some of the ascriptions at the top of these Psalms tell the reader what tune they should be sung to or what instruments they should be played with. And so that's what Israel did. They responded to God in song. And one of the things you'll notice as we move through the Psalms is that not everything is good in our shared history. Turn to Psalm chapter 12, and we'll see that sometimes we respond in lament for our sins. One third of the Psalms are actually lament Psalms. So again, turn back to Psalm chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. For the choir director, according to the Shemoneth, a psalm of David, save, O Yahweh, for the holy man ceases to be. For the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak worthlessness to one another. With a flattering lip and with a double heart, they speak. And so David's saying, all right, I'll write a psalm about the fact that I can't find any righteous people around me. This fall is affecting the kingdom over which I reign. And so I want us to sing about that. I want us to think deeply about that. I want us to remember how deeply we are touched by the curse of sin. But David didn't just write lament psalms over other people's sins. He wrote lament psalms over his own sin. If you look at Psalm chapter 51, we see an example of this. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4. For the choir director, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the abundance of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and pure when you judge. So God's people remember together their shared history as a part of creation, as a part of the fall, but also as a part of redemption. And so they confessed to one another. They lamented sin to one another, and they celebrated that God had revealed himself as creator, but also as redeemer. And so we sing together, and what we sing is what we believe. We believe that God is Father, Son, and Spirit. We believe that he's revealed himself in the person of the Son. And I'm curious to know how many of you at some point in your life had to memorize the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. How many of you have heard of the Apostles' Creed? Okay, there's a few more hands. All right. You know, these creeds, they're really beautiful. They're packed with theology, but they can be tough to memorize. But then the Newsboys wrote a song, right? And we put it to music, and all of a sudden, it becomes so much easier to remember those truths. That's how our minds work. It's designed that way. Why? Well, music helps thoughts and ideas stick in our minds. Biblical ideas and concepts that would take 30 or 40 minutes to explain, or subjects that entire books have been written on, can be summed up pretty well in a 4 to 5 minute song. You know, songs are poetic. Poetry is very concise. It's vivid. It's efficient. It's concrete language. So let me give you an example of this. I could say, God takes care of you. Right? I could say, God takes care of you, and you could write that in your notes. Okay, God takes care of me. Got it. Or I could say, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. He makes you lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside quiet waters. He restores your soul. He leads you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though you walk through the shadow of the valley of death, you don't have to fear evil because his rod and his staff comfort you. He guides you. He guards you. He protects you. In fact, you are like an honored guest at a feast. You sit down at the feast and he pours the oil on your head and he gives you the choicest cuts of meat. He deeply loves you. This is your God. Or you could just say God takes care of you. Or we could sing about it and we can celebrate it. And that's the gift that God has given to us in music. He's given us the opportunity to have this shared response to all that he has done in our lives. Now, I want you to listen. You can turn if you would like, but I want you to listen as I read from Acts chapter 16. I'm going to be starting in verse 22. Acts chapter 16, and Paul and Silas have been thrown into prison. And the crowd joined together to attack them. And the chief magistrates, tearing their garments off of them, proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had inflicted them with many wounds, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. Who, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So Paul and Silas have been beaten. They've been put in the inner prison. It's dark, it's cold, they're bound in stocks and chains, but they decided to sing. And they began to sing hymns, and they sang those hymns because they had sung them together for probably their whole lives. They knew these songs together. And so as they're singing in prison, they're celebrating. They're celebrating God as their creator. They're celebrating God as their redeemer and as their rescuer. They're probably singing songs about the kingdom of God. They might even be singing new songs, like what the church of Philippi was singing in Philippians chapter 2. Celebrating the ultimate triumph of Jesus Christ. And as they're singing and celebrating, what we see happening next is an earthquake, continuing in verse 26. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the jailhouse were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your house." Paul and Silas were declaring their belief. They're saying, "We believe. We may be beaten, we may be persecuted, we may be crushed, but we believe. We believe that Jesus is our Redeemer, and we believe that he is ultimately going to triumph. We believe." And so how does this work for us? Well, singing reinforces our resolve. This is our response of faith. And we believe that the things we are singing are true of God and true of us. Psalm 108:3 says, "I will praise you, Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations." When Paul and Silas were singing, a revival broke out in that jail because they were singing as they were seeing, they were remembering, right? As they're singing, they're remembering. They're remembering, what is our purpose? Why are we here on this earth? Well, we're here to sing praises, and we're going to spend eternity singing praises, but right now we have an opportunity to sing in such a way that we can draw others into our community of worship. So why do we sing? "I will praise you, Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations." We sing because we believe. Now, how does this work practically? If you're able, I'd like you to stand with me for just a minute, and we're going to read Psalm 23 together. We're going to have it up on the screen. Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. Let's read this aloud together. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. Here's what we see happening. Music strengthens our resolve because music creates an emotional response. Music is designed, it is intended to create emotion within us. And so I know for some of you, when you come to church and you come to worship, you really, really, really want to have that emotional response. You long for that emotional connection. And maybe for others of you, you're praying that you won't have that emotional response or that emotional connection because we're a Bible teaching church. I want to be fed. Teach me something. And I think it can be easy for us to think that if emotion is involved in my choices or in my response to God, that somehow lessens the value or the validity of it. But that's simply untrue. We don't want to be making decisions or choices purely based on emotion. We want our decisions and choices to be based on what's true and right and good and firmly rooted in reality. But the fact is, every decision you make is on some level an emotional decision. You can't make a decision without emotion. Did you know that? You can't make a decision with no emotion. I think we like to create these nice boxes or psychological categories of emotion and will and conscience, right? But that's not how human beings are created to operate. There have been studies done on individuals who have had damage done to the part of their brains that allows them to feel and process emotions. And do you know what happens? They're unable to make a decision. They can't make a decision because we can't make decisions without emotion. So do you know what you're going to do tomorrow? Well, you're going to do what you want to do, right? The thing you most want to do, the thing you desire to do is what you're going to do, balanced, of course, by your reasoning. Because your reasoning tells you what is right to do, what is good to do, what is best to do. And hopefully, your reasoning will be based on truth and what is right. But when you get your reasoning and your emotion together, that is how we make decisions. And so that's why it's so important for us to sing songs that are true, right? Songs that are rooted in Scripture, songs that have good theology. We want to sing about what is right and what is biblical, because when we sing those songs, the emotion enforces the truths that we're singing and what we're professing that we believe. And so when we're singing these songs of truth together, we're like, yes, I'm all in, right? The world is against us. The world hates us. Satan is attacking us, but Jesus is going to win. Jesus is going to triumph. That's good emotion. It's designed for that purpose. And so when we sing truth together, it pleases the heart of God. When we sing truth together, it pleases the heart of God because it's true and because we're doing it together. Music is a gift from God, but it's a gift that we give back to him as well. Now here's the fourth thing that happens when we sing. Singing unites us in shared praise. It unites us in shared praise. Psalm 147, verse 1 says, "Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh from the heavens. Praise him in the heights." Oh, I'm sorry, that's 48. "Praise Yahweh, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is becoming." It's pleasing to God, and it's pleasant to us. It's becoming. Or as it says in other versions, it's fitting, or it's right. Because God is worthy. He wants our praise. He deserves our praise. He longs for our praise, because our praise brings him pleasure. And I wonder how many of us, you don't need to raise your hands, but how many of us have come here or gone to a different church on a Sunday morning and thought, you know, I really didn't like the worship songs that we sang this morning? Like, have you ever thought that? The reality is, not everybody is going to agree on every song, right? Because the church is diverse, right? We've got different people from different backgrounds across multiple generations. And so when we come together to worship, not every generation or individual is going to have the same preferences in regard to worship. Now, we aim for balance. Our desire is to try to check everybody's box, but we don't always get it right. And so as a church, we need to grow and learn to give and sacrifice for one another, because that's what pleases the heart of God. Now, another question for you to think about. Have you ever found yourself at church thinking, you know, I didn't get anything out of church this morning as you're leaving? I didn't get anything out of that. Maybe you weren't moved emotionally by the worship. Maybe you didn't find the sermon very engaging. Maybe you didn't think the pastor's jokes were that funny. Maybe you didn't like the song selection. But we need to remember that church isn't about us. It's not about us. Now, don't get me wrong. I want you to be blessed by church. I want you to benefit and grow as a result of being a part of the church. But ultimately, it's not for us. It's for the Lord. He's given us the gift of music. He's given us the gift of his word. And what we're doing when we sing and we listen and we respond is giving that gift back to him. And so ultimately, the primary reason that we have for gathering is for him. And when we have that mindset, we're going to get more out of our church time because our minds and hearts are properly oriented. Music, singing, songs, it's all a gift from God. And when we sing these songs of truth and praise together, we are giving a gift back to him. And he deserves all of the praise and honor and glory that we can give him, because he alone is worthy. Would you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you for the gift of your church. Lord, I thank you for the joy we have of gathering together and being able to lift you up in songs of praise and worship. God, you are worthy. You have done so much for us. God, you've changed our lives and changed our eternal course. Thank you. Lord, we love you. It's our delight to worship you and to praise you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.